Director of Children's Ministries here at Gateway Community Church. So if this is your first time here and you came expecting the cool, hip pastor, unfortunately, you're getting the middle-aged minivan-driving mom that needs to wear reading glasses to see any of her notes. So all kidding aside, Matt is enjoying some much-deserved time off of preaching and spending some time with his family. So we're going to jump right in, and I guess this is kind of on a side note. I'm really good with kids. I'm not really good with adults. So just bear with me as we get through this together, because, I mean, I could dance around all day, but my heart's racing right now. So we're going to continue our sermon series on Heroes, Hero Central. It was the theme that we had for our VBS, as you can tell. And I'm really excited that we've been able to use this as a sermon series. I have always felt that it's really important that the congregation learn what the kids are learning. It sparks conversation at home and also just lets you know a little bit about what's going on in children's ministry. So you know it's all not just a crazy woman jumping up and yelling at them. So before we get started, though, I want to just give you guys an update on VBS. We had 118 kids fill this room. We had over 50 volunteers, youth and adults, so my hats go off to them because they made it possible. We were able to offer it free because of your generous donations and because of the support of our leadership teams, so I'm very excited about that. And the really exciting thing is we gave the kids a goal to raise $500 to buy backpacks for children at Sunnyside Elementary, and we raised $502, so I was really excited about that, so good job. Good job. So as I want to recap a little bit about where we've been in our sermon series. So Matt talked about God's heroes have courage. And if you remember, he brought up Abigail. And he talked about Abigail was married to a guy named Nabal, which, if you don't know, Nabal means foolish. His name actually meant that he was foolish. We thought that was pretty hilarious. And David had been protecting his men out in the desert, and David needed some provisions. So he sent some men to Nabal to say, hey, can we have some help? And Nabal said, no way, forget it. So they went back to David, and basically David said, strap on your swords, boys, we're going to rumble. Well, they got met at the pass by Abigail. And Abigail had the courage to say, please forgive my husband. But she also had the courage to stand up to 400 men with swords. She had the courage to face off with these men because she knew David's heart was right with the Lord. Last week, we talked about the Beatitudes. So we skipped to the New Testament, talked about the Beatitudes, which are part of the Sermon on the Mount. Matt, at lightning speed, went through those, and I'm not going to recap those for you. You can catch those on the podcast if you want. But we talked about heroes have hope. The Beatitudes give us hope. Well, today we're going to talk about heroes have heart. But before we do that, I want to pray for us very quickly. So, Father, thank you again for gathering us in this church. We ask that you remove the distractions we may have felt walking in today. Help us to open our minds and our hearts so that we can better hear you. I ask that the words I speak are yours and not my own. In your name we pray, amen. Well, today we're going to talk about David and David having heart. We're going to skip back into 1 Samuel. We're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 16. This is before he met up with Abigail. So it is in part of the story when God comes to Samuel and says, it's time to anoint another king. Go and find who is our anointed one. And he says, but wait a minute, Saul is going to get mad. I don't want to do this. You know, I'm scared. This could cause some problems. And God said, well, invite Jesse and tell him that we're going to have a sacrifice. Bring a cow along with you and tell him we're going to have a sacrifice. And he said, I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate. So he goes to Jesse's house, and Jesse has all these fine-looking sons. And one by one, they parade him in front of Samuel. Well, VBS, the way we told the story, was one by one each of them had a trait. So we had our lovely Julie Eisenman put on a big furry wig, and we said, is it the son with the best hair? God said, no, it's not that son. Is it the son with the biggest muscles? Nope, not that son either. Went through all these things. And the Bible tells us that one by one, God tells Samuel it's not that son. And finally, he says, are there any more? Are there any more sons? And he said, well, I have one. His name's David. He's out in the fields. He's a shepherd. And God says, call for him. Bring him in. So they sent for him. He was the youngest. The Bible tells us that he was glowing with health, had a fine appearance, and handsome features. So in my mind, I always thought that maybe he didn't look as kingly as the others, but the Bible tells us that he was glowing in health. He was just the youngest, probably the most unlikely to be king. But guess what? They told him, God said, he's the one, anoint him. Well, when I was preparing for this sermon, I kind of thought a little bit about my story and how I got to where I am. I'm the oldest of three daughters. If you look at my sisters and I, you would say, well, maybe they're cousins. We don't really look alike. You see, my two sisters have dark hair, dark eyes. They look like my mom. I have blonde hair and blue eyes, and I look like my dad. My two sisters are, dare I say, a little quieter than I am. They're probably, the word that's been used to describe me before is exuberant. They maybe are not as exuberant. They're more laid back. They knew what they wanted to do early in life. They're both school teachers. They love children. And you see, by all outer appearances, I was not that. I was my father, who's a successful salesman who owns a company. I'm like him. I'm like my grandfather. I can talk to anybody. I remember at one point growing up, someone said, Penny, you can sell ice to Eskimos. And I probably could at some point in my life. I was referred to as a whole lot of Litton. Litton is my maiden name, so I was a whole lot of my dad and my grandfather. And I was, in my eyes, the heir apparent. I was going to follow in my father's footsteps. I was going to be a successful salesperson, and I was going to run his company someday. Well, some things got in the way. I went to work for my dad, and I hated it. I hated it. I realized, and this is horrible to say to a group of adults, but I didn't really like adults. They weren't my favorite people. And about that time, I started looking inward to see what I was supposed to do. And in my heart at that time, I was looking at three things. I was looking at money. I wanted to be really, really rich. I wanted to make a lot of money. I wanted to be really, really have notoriety in the community. I wanted people to know who I was. You know, my dad's in real estate, and everybody knows who Biff Ward is. Well, everybody was going to know who Penny Walker was because my face was going to be on the movie screens. And I did it because I thought it was what it was expected of me. But what I realized then is that my heart was broken. My instincts were selfish. My instincts were to myself, and I decided that it was time to make a change and to become heart healthy. Now, I don't want you to hear this as if you are a salesman and you're successful and that is bad. That is not bad. That is not bad. That is just my story where my heart was. So I became heart healthy. I made God a priority in my life. I went to church. I grew up in the church, but kind of fell away from it my teenage years and my 20s, and then went back. And guess what? I went to two services every Sunday. I worshiped at one, and then I served at the other. I decided I was going all in. I went to a Bible study, my very first Bible study ever. And this is an embarrassing fact that Karen Powell, who is the leader, knew. But I didn't have a Bible, so I had to literally take a wet paper towel and scrape the dust off the Bible I was given for sixth grade confirmation. I was like 35, so it had not been used. And I didn't know a thing about the Bible. I volunteered. I gave my time to the church and to other organizations. I would go up to the church and I would help clean closets, or I took meals to homebound people. I volunteered, and I started giving financially to my church. And during all that time, something changed. Something changed in my heart. When I started to pursue what God wants, it changed my heart. And I go back to the verse in Samuel where it says, I will show you what to do. And amazingly enough, God kept showing me what to do. My heart was changed. Now, remember, I'm the sister that doesn't like kids. And all of a sudden, I felt this huge tug to teach preschool at the church. Go figure. I mean, that's crazy. And I realized that I loved kids. Doors kept opening and kept opening. And eventually, I deepened my relationship with Christ. And I became what I am today. I think that my heart is still sinful. We all are. We're all broken. We're all here because we're broken. You don't go to the hospital because you're well. You don't come to church because you're perfect. We're still broken. But I believe when I made God a priority, my heart started to change. Just like David, his heart was for the Lord. When you do that, I believe that you will find a happiness and a joy that you cannot even imagine. You change your heart. When you change your priorities, your heart changes. Reminds me something of what Matt talks about a lot is where your checkbook and your calendar are. That's where your priorities are. Like, you can look at those things and find out where you're spending your time is where it is. And I am reminded of this verse in Matthew, and it's in chapter 6, 21. It says, where your treasure is, your heart will also be. So where your treasure is where your heart will also be. So whether it's, you know, for me at first, my treasure was money, fame, because I was supposed to. When I started to change it and make my treasure the Lord, amazing things happen in my life. So I just want to conclude with asking you, are you heart healthy this morning? Are there things in your life, priorities in your life that you could change? Not saying, you know, that you have to change them all in an instant, but just pray about it. Start making God a priority and just see where your life could go. Amen.